Welcome to the Conversologist podcast, where we talk about the art and science of conversations in the digital space. We know that technology can be a powerful enabler in the customer journey, from marketing to customer service, but communication and emotional connection still need to be at the core. I'm your host, Jen Mayer, and I invite you to converse with me. Today with me is my colleague, senior content conversologist, Rue Shearer, radio copywriter, chatbot conversation designer, and sometime blogger. Welcome, Rue.
Thank you very much, Jam. It's good to be here.
Well, this week's episode, we are going to talk about the ethics of chatbots.
Right. Sounds a bit weird, huh? But it's kind of the Wild West out there right now.
What?
Well, chatbots are basically an unregulated technology, and this isn't the first time we've seen this kind of situation. If you look at the pattern, and this is certainly true of social media, ethics aren't high on the pioneer's priority list.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So they're all about the money.
Yeah, totally. When an industry or technology is new, it's a bit like a gold rush. A lot of the speculators are all about making money and cashing in, and you know they really can't be bothered with the ethics or preserving audience integrity for the future.
Well, isn't that just a free market at work?
Yeah, but it shouldn't be that simple. You've got a great example of this with social media.
Okay, how so?
Well, the ethics put in place originally for some of the big social channels are pretty arbitrary when you think about it. They'll censor a nipple, but allow the collection and sharing of 20,000 data points per user. I mean,
Whoa. Nipple, did you just say that? Are we allowed to do that on a podcast?
I know, this is theater for the mind and everybody's suddenly got a picture of a nipple in their head. Sorry about that.
Right, okay, carry on. Okay,
they'll curate news feeds that reinforce prejudices and shape politics, but they'll deny responsibility for their part in social change. It's only really when users and even governments have started to apply pressure and push back that we're seeing some real responsibility being taken by the social channels.
Right. But chatbots are a lot different, right?
Yes and no. Chatbots are potentially worse. They're often set and forget, meaning, you know, you build it, and especially if there's AI or machine learning involved, you just hope that it comes out okay, but there's no guarantee. Now, researching this podcast, I came across a blog that used Microsoft's Tay chatbot disaster, the debacle, as an example of what can go wrong.
Oh, I heard about that. Mm-hmm. Not don't know a lot of the details, but Tay was the Twitter bot that went from "Hello world," really, really simple, to "Feminists should burn in hell" in 24 hours. Yeah. Was it?
It was pretty much like that, and there was even worse stuff. Yeah, Tay got broken. By users, I have to add. But so, of course, I mean, Tay was taken down pretty quickly, but it was an important lesson that at this point in time, a chatbot is at best only as ethical as its creator, and it has limitations. But at its worst, it's very vulnerable to the worst of society. But let's just backtrack a little to the ethics around commercial considerations of a chatbot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we really only see rules for chatbots based around what's in place already for like email or other types of marketing, namely opt-in, opt-out regulations.
Yep.
You have to subscribe after a fact, and you can always unsubscribe.
Yeah.
But any rules or consumer protections beyond that tend to be pretty limited and pretty arbitrary.
Depends on which country as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. Now, Europe has the GDPR, but yeah, other countries really have very little in place to protect users.
Sure, but it's just a chatbot, right? What's the worst it can do?
Well, glad you asked, Jam. Chatbots can ask a lot of information from users, and since they tend to do it through conversation and present themselves as pretty much human, they can earn a lot more trust than just, say, a web form or something. The fact is, people can be persuaded to give up a lot of very private information through a chatbot. But what happens to that information? Where are the privacy guidelines? Was it even legitimate to ask those questions in the first place?
Okay, but the last thing you want is a terms of use document to read and agree to before the chatbot even starts.
True.
I mean, no one even reads it. Do you actually read those long things?
That's one of the greatest lies of our generation, I think.
Right, okay. So one of the benefits of a chatbot is that it's an easy and instant way to get personal with a customer. I mean, that's the whole point.
Yep. So it stands to reason that there should be some overarching code of conduct for chatbots that everybody should actually try to adhere to.
Good luck with that.
Well, see, not only is there no guiding code for chatbots, there's actually not even a requirement for a chatbot to even declare it is a chatbot.
Well, you can in some form of something. Right. Anyway, I've talked about that in one of my blogs. I mean, there's a temptation to make the chatbot seem like a real person. The trouble is, it can really damage user trust when they finally found out, oh my God, it's a machine, it's a bot.
Yeah, exactly. And when you look at the possibilities of conversational AI and chatbots that learn as they go, there is a lot of potential for a really well-made chatbot to fool people into thinking it is a real person.
To be fair, there aren't a lot of chat. Well, then again, it is increasing by the day, I'm sure. If any that could pass the Turing test, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but you're right. You'd be surprised just from talking to people who use chatbots. I found a lot of people have been sucked in, and they weren't sure if they were dealing with a bot or with a human.
Right, yeah.
I think quite justifiably you can feel a bit cheated when you've been chattering in online messages and, you know, slowly it starts to dawn on you that you're just actually talking to a computer. Nobody likes being made to look stupid. And, of course, deliberately misleading people into thinking a chatbot is real. Now, there's a problem. Again, there's no real code of chatbot ethics out there at this point. But, you see, as a tactic, it could easily be used to manipulate people out of their money.
Well, here's the thing. Some people would say, well, I'm smart enough to know whether it's a machine talking to me or not, right?
Yes and no. I wouldn't be so sure about that. Not if it's well made. Let's give a hypothetical example. Tripping over my tongue there. Say you run a dating website that benefits from subscriptions, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, you could potentially use a chatbot as a potential match. Send a few flirty messages, even engage in some apparently heartfelt, deep and meaningfuls, with the promise of more if the user subscribes.
Have you been into these? Have you experienced this already? There's a lot of spamming out there.
You know what I mean? I mean, there are people who don't even pick up that their followers in Instagram are bots. You know, so it's actually remarkably easy to fool somebody who wants to be fooled.
Oh, wait, hang on. This just reminds me, the FA conference just finished and Facebook, well, Mark, personal. Mr. Zuckerberg has announced the dating app. I know he mentioned this a year back. I don't know, a year or 2 years ago or whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So you just made me, you reminded me of that. So I hope, Mr. Zuckerberg, Facebook with your dating app, it isn't something like that.
Exactly.
And Messenger. Oh my God.
Just watch out. Mr. Right might actually turn out to be Mr. Bot, you know. You've got your subscriber. You've got your subscriber and then, you know, the so-called wonder date, Mr. Bot, Mr. Right, suddenly loses interest and just wanders off. But you've got yourself a paid up subscribed member.
Well, again, going back to that, sorry, but they are planning to put, I mean, in Messenger, they are planning to put some, I don't know, another revenue stream. So that could, yeah, it's interesting. Anyway, go ahead. So carry on.
Hence the need for ethics around it. Look, I'll give you another example. This is a real one, okay? This is a thing, interactive novels.
Ooh, I love reading. You mean those interactive novels?
Like the Choose Your Own Adventure books, yeah.
Oh, right.
You know, you get to choose your button for what your character says, and that dictates the flow that follows.
That's an app.
Yeah, but they're built on chatbot technology.
It's a chat. No, it's not. It's an app.
Right. So
still, let's use the example. Keep
okay.
going.
Okay, yep, okay, yep, okay, yep. Right, right. So, first up, you get to design and name your character, right? Very important, because all of a sudden you're invested in this. It's the character is someone, something that you've sort of helped create.
My avatar.
Your avatar, yes. That's yeah, okay. Then, as the story progresses, you get to choose what your character says, how he or she responds to situations. Are you acquiescent? Are you diplomatic? Are you confrontational? And of course, that affects the story.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's basically partly gamification, mm-hmm. just a little bit.
Right.
Yep.
Well, but the problem is in these episode stories, you can freely choose your response to inconsequential stuff, but when it comes to a critical decision, something that will have a serious effect on the flow of the story and the characters, whoops, there's a paywall.
So?
Well, and in most cases, the moral, compassionate, constructive, or, yes, most enticing choice comes at the cost, maybe between $3 and $5 at a click. And there are many such points in each story.
Right.
So, I mean, like, for example, a friend in the story is depressed. She's alone at home. Do you leave her to it? Or do you invite her over for pizza? What else could happen if you do? And it's just the two of you together. Pizza. If you don't invite... Yeah, pizza.
Pizza!
But to invite her over, you have to pay the chatbot. Well, pay the app. The only free option is to leave her to it. Just leave her alone for the night. Or maybe she has a secret to tell you, but to hear the secret, once again, you have to pay.
Okay, I guess I get it. I really mm-hmm. get it. But honestly, I don't get it. I mean, it's part of... It's not just gamification. It's that's how games work. And you've got levels and, well, game developers. Hello, get into the discussion here. We really need you to help me out here. I mean, that's how it works. I play games all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't mind. And I've tried these choose-your-adventure type of things. And... Look, if I don't want to pay, then I get the crappy decision and stuff. You know what I mean? If I have to fight a dragon or I have to level up, as you say, you know, like my avatar, my dragon, I need a better sword. I need better guns or bullets and ammo for me to actually win the fight. So it's part of games.
Okay, yeah. I think what concerns me here is first off, the moral predicament it puts people in. These are sort of often choices of right versus wrong, and right you have to pay and wrong is the free choice. What also concerns me is that with some of these interactive app novels, you're not targeting adults here. These stories are targeted at adolescents, young teens, and they're dealing with themes like relationships, sex, bullying, breakups. You're brought to a point where a friend in the story is clearly in trouble, needs your support, but giving that support means going through a paywall. Now, this isn't like paying a one-off fee to read the story and be part of it and make the decisions. It's a kind of psychological coercion to a very vulnerable age group.
Okay, but in their defense, if the target, you know, are adolescents, they're probably asking their parents for their credit card. Well, then again, maybe, maybe not. That puts the power in the adults' hands. It's no different from Candy Crush or any number of paywall games.
So you don't think it's a problem?
Not really, maybe because it's an app. It's not really a chatbot, though I get it. You know, it is, it could be a chatbot. Oh, I hope we're not starting a... someone actually up there listening and thinking, oh, this is actually a good idea.
Well, the sort of the technology and the functionality is reasonably similar in that you are presented with choices and you've taken down a different flow depending on the choice you make. And, you know, I think the problem to me is that the publishers are pretty much free to manipulate this very vulnerable audience as much as they want. What sort of impact could this have? Whether it's a chatbot or whether it's the app, especially when you're marketing it to, say, directly to young teens.
Maybe not at all.
Maybe not at all, sure, but something like this to me is ethically dangerous.
Right, so games, app, chatbots, question mark, end of story. Okay. What else?
Okay, medical and health advice or diagnosis?
Right.
Ethically right or wrong?
Mm.
Advice to parents or kids about what to do in certain situations. How do we know that advice is actually the best advice it could be? Life coaching. Yeah, any numpty can come along and write a chatbot. Mm. How do you know the advice you're giving is actually sound and you're guiding people down the right path?
Well, then again, there are life coaches out there. Hey, life coaches out there. I have the good ones. I've met really good ones, but there are some life coaches that just because... Yeah, never mind.
Okay, no.
That's not the topic tonight.
I do get the point, yes. And exactly the same with spiritual or psychic healing, obviously.
What's wrong with that?
Again, how do you know whether it's actually quality stuff that's going to actually benefit people, whether it's just raking money out of people?
Well, spiritual, you know, it could be religion. Yeah. And let's not go there.
Exactly. And exploiting vulnerable audiences is always an area for concern.
Right. So chatbots are kind of, well, yes, they are dark social because it's private.
Yeah.
Like, again, FA conference, still very fresh in my mind. The future is private. Away from the public eye, it's personal, one-on-one. So, yes, it is very hard to monitor or regulate. I mean, not like a website, for example, or a social, you know, business page that can actually be reviewed.
Right. It's the Wild West. Look, I mean, you know, you and I worked on a chatbot for social services last year, My River. I think we did pretty well to make sure that this chatbot was culturally and gender sensitive in its responses. We were very cautious around how it addressed issues like potential suicides. But even that was pretty arbitrary. It was really only our own moral compasses that guided the ethics of that particular chatbot in My River.
Yeah, and it's still a simple solution. It's still not the best. We don't know. And that was something that I, you know, was discussed during my latest presentation or guest lecture in one of the universities here. So anyway, so what's the solution then, Bruce? I mean, how do we even start to fix this?
Look, one thing I'm in favor of personally is industry self-regulation. I think when sort of regulatory bodies get involved, there's way too much butt covering or politics.
Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Not enough consideration of what's actually best for both the user and the industry. You'll often get, you know, it leans too far to protect the user or goes too far to protect the industry. It's really important to not penalize one over the other. Also, regulators and their policies can be influenced by the big players and the big dollars and set rules that benefit one party over another. I know I'm talking in generics here, but if the chatbot industry were actually able to, say, create an international independent body of ethics that was funded by the industry, and if you were compliant, you'd get their tick or stamp of approval, and users had a central site to find out all the rules and guidelines, that'd be a great start.
So that's your project then next week? Looks like you're going to be very, very busy. Anyway, so we want to keep on talking, but hey, that's it for this week's episode. So leave a voice message if you're an Anchor. I'd love it if you're an Anchor because I love this app, by the way. Thank you, Anchor. Leave a comment if you're catching this podcast elsewhere in the social channels. We'd love to continue the discussion, and I have a feeling we'll be back to this topic before long.
Yep, you can bet on it.
Okay, well, till the next episode, thanks for listening.